The Bible said that God is a spirit. And we that worship God, we can't worship God in the flesh. We got to worship God in the spirit and in truth. God talked to us through the spirit. Not through our flesh, but through our spirit man. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Praise the Lord. You don't walk the same. You don't go to the same place that you used to go to. You don't do the things that you used to do because God has delivered you from those things. The Apostle Paul began to say, if you go back to those things, the Apostle Paul said, it's just like a dog when he gets sick and he begins to throw up. And he walk away from what he throwed up. And then he say he go right back and begin to eat those same things back again. When you begin to go back and when you begin to look back, that was what was wrong with the children of Israel. They kept looking back into Egypt, praise the Lord, and begin to tell the man of God that he made a mistake for bringing them out there in the wilderness. Said we were better off in bondage in Egypt. And many times God will let you go through some stuff. He's not going to always come and get you out of the situation that you're in. God going to let you go through it. Because when you go through it, that's when you learn something. When you have to go through something. Your parent can tell you all day long about don't do this and don't do that. Praise the Lord. But when you go through it, then that when you learn, praise the Lord. Oh, I see what Bishop Marbury was talking about now. I see exactly what Bishop Marbury, wow, because I'm walking in the footprint now, in the shoes now. See, when it come down to the sheep, it said that David, praise the Lord, was tending to the sheep. And one thing about the sheep, and you may not like me tonight, is the sheep got to be led. And whatever one sheep do, another sheep gonna do it. If one sheep jump over this fence, then a whole bunch of other sheep gonna come and jump over the fence. And if they tear the fence down, guess what? The last one's still going to jump because all the rest of them jump. It said that David was already tending to the sheep. And it's not an easy thing tending to the sheep. You may not like me tonight. You may not like me tonight, but I know I'm on what God wants me to say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when you tend to the sheep, it gonna take your time that you have with your honey. It gonna take your time that you have with your money. Sheep gonna take your time. That's why he said, I have given you pastor out of my own heart. Praise the Lord. They're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. It said that David was tending to the sheep. David was already tending to the sheep. God knows everything. He knew that David was already tending to the sheep. The man of God didn't know, but God already knew that David was tending to the sheep. And if you're any kind of man of God or woman of God, you should smell like sheep. Oh, you may not like me tonight. You may tell me to quit. I don't know. Looking at me, mind is strained tonight. But what about the things of God? What about the Holy Ghost? with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue as God give you the utterance. Praise the Lord. Huh? Hallelujah. What about that prayer? That ain't important to you. See, that was wrong right now. You got the wrong thing. Your mind is on the wrong thing. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And he said, I will, you know what he said? I add all things to you. I bless you coming in. I bless you going out. Praise the Lord. If you put me first. But many times, praise the Lord is not first on our list, and you may not like me tonight. He ain't the first on my list. Got way down there to the bottom of my list. But we want so many things from the Lord. Well, in the Bible says, if I go in the prayer room and shut the door and pray to God, which sees in the spirit, praise the Lord, see secretly, he going to reward me openly. That's what God wants you to do, to go in that prayer room. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to go in the prayer room. Because when you're in there, praise the Lord, then God going to show you something that you ain't going to like. He's going to show you you. He's going to show you you, praise the Lord. Yeah, God wants you to go in that prayer room and shut the door. And pray to God. And when you pray to him, then he's going to tell you something about yourself, praise the Lord, that you already know. But he's going to tell you about yourself, praise the Lord. Show you what you need to get rid of, praise the Lord. Say, you brought all this stuff in here, praise the Lord, to the altar, praise the Lord. He begin to go and tell you, say, get rid of this and get rid of that, praise the Lord. I want to strip you, praise the Lord, out of everything, praise the Lord. Everything, I want to strip you. What God want to do, he want to strip somebody, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, you're too heavy, praise the Lord.
We are in hopes that you enjoyed our elders' message today and were truly blessed. If you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314 or visit our website at www.churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God to our co-founder, Pastor Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana. You've just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
We thank you, Lord, for this moment right now. We thank you that you have allowed us to come together one more time. Now, Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love and kindness, your patience with us and for us. Thank you for this preaching opportunity that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to these your people and myself. Now, Lord, give me preaching power that I can tell us what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. And the church said amen. And amen. It is just good for us to be here. And had it not been for the Lord on our side, we know where we would be. We would not be. And again, to Pastor Humphrey, well, thank you so very much for inviting the Monadnock Baptist Church family to come and share in this celebration. And to Pastor Emeritus, Pastor Huey Lawson. Amen. And we thank Mount Calvary Baptist Church officers and boards of members. I would like to share a thought with us to blend in with your theme, Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 18. Matthew 16 and 18. Amen. And the word of our Lord says, and also I say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or gates of hell, or the city of hell, shall not prevail against it or overthrow it. And Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in Jesus' name, I am there in the midst of them. May God bless the reader, hearer of his divine word. And for a little while this afternoon, we would like to blend into your theme, Jesus in the midst. All right. And you know, it's a good thing to know that Jesus is in the midst of your affairs, your life, your business, your everything. If he's in the midst, in the middle, you can glean from him. You can receive power from him. Now, when I speak of the church this afternoon, I'm not speaking of the mortar and bricks. Structure is important. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm speaking of the universal church, the body of redeemed saints who have repented of their sins and who have placed their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who live according to the Word of God. In the text today, we find that Jesus is the founder and foundation of the church. Yes. But the text that I just read to you, he says, upon this rock I will build my church. I personal pronoun. He's saying that I'm going to do it myself. Yes. I'm not going to trust someone else to build my church. Yes. And there's no question about it that the church is built upon Christ. Right. And really what he was saying is that I'm going to build this church upon myself. Yes. It's unquestionable that he's the builder of the church and the power behind its structure. For 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Yes. Jesus is in the midst of his church this evening. Yes, Mount Calvary. It is Jesus who takes every believer, all of the living stones in his church. And whether you realize it or not, the church is still under construction. All right. What he says, upon this rock, I shall, in King James translation, build my church. It's ongoing.
Yes, sir.
And I say to you, no matter how eloquent your home is or how it has been built beautifully, if you live in it long enough, you're going to have to do something. Some change is going to have to be made. No matter how eloquent it is. Just stay there a while and the plumbing will act up. Electricity will act up. Refrigerators will go out and air conditioning will go out. In the same way with this body, we are under construction. When Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, he said, I own the church. Not the membership, not man, but the church belongs to me. He shed his blood for the church. On this rock, I will build my church. Rock, it's one religion believed that when he said Peter, which means petrol, which is a small pebble, that the church is built up on Peter. No. But the confession of Peter and the confession of true believers is what the church is built upon. It's through the preaching of the gospel that Jesus builds his church. For Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes it. He said, Rock, he's saying something. He says now, rock symbolizes stability, structure. And a building is only as strong as its foundation. A rock symbolizes strength. Paul said the other day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's Jesus who strengthened the church. He is, you know, the rock of ages, rock of Israel. He's my rock, he's my redeemer, he's the precious cornerstone for a sure foundation, Isaiah 28:16. Jesus is in the midst of the church this evening, Mount Calvary, the church purpose. He's in the midst of it. But the purpose of the church is to make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded of you. The church purpose, his sole purpose, is to make disciples. And Christ, as a builder and maker of the church, he draws souls to himself. He unites us together in his love. Not only he's in the midst of the purpose of the church, but he's in the midst of the power of the church. Yes. In the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes. The Holy Spirit is the power and unit of the church. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our enabler. Yes. Amen. You remember what Jesus said to those disciples after he had resurrected? He said, remain in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. That was the Holy Ghost. Then you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in all of the nations. Luke's gospel say, remain, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. It is the power of the Holy Ghost that enables us to do the will of God. He has to be in the midst of his power. He has to be in the midst. And he's in the midst of the church perfection. For he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hate, gates of hell, the city of hell will not overthrow. That lets us know the church got enemies. Inside and outside. But the text says that nothing can overthrow the church. The church will be here. Because the church lives after the word of God. See, flowers will fade away. But the word, grass will wither, but the word will stand forever. When you look out, you don't see no grass, nothing green. You can start saying, well, something wrong here now. But the word will still be standing, no matter what. Nero tried to destroy the church, but he couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. Tried to burn it down, but he couldn't do it. It still survived. He even hung it on a cross. He said, we know it got it now. He didn't shut it down. He just opened it up. But all of a sudden, the morning, the builder, the founder, the foundation of the church got up. Oh, wow. And he's in the midst, Mount Calvary, according to your theme there. Where you say, for where two or three are gathered in my name, not in Willie Duncan's name, but in Jesus' name, there I am in the midst of them. And what he's saying in that is that he's in the midst of the prayers of the church. That's what he's saying. He's dealing with prayer now. Well, what he's saying is that when we are guided by the Holy Spirit, we will pray according to the will of God. And the Holy Ghost will be in our midst and guide us through the prayer with that same word. He says he'll be in our midst. Well, two or three. And that's important because he's saying that if there's two people with sincere agreement, they are more powerful than a thousand with supernatural agreement. When you are being aided by the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry. He will take care of you. And you know, it's a good thing that Jesus was in the midst of that wedding at Cana when the wine ran out. Oh, he was in the midst. Mary went to him and he said, darling, it's not my hour. Then Mary goes to the son and said, whatever he say, that's where Nike got their statement from. Just do it. Whatever he say, just do it. See, Nike wasn't the first one saying that. That's why Solomon said nothing new up under the sun. Just do it. And when he's in the midst of whatever you're doing, just do what he's saying. Between the dipping and the sipping of water, fill six ugly, dirty water pots with water. We're not thirsty for water, yeah. But we need some joy. Yeah. That's why they call it joy juice long time ago. Y'all looking at me kind of funny here now. Y'all looking at me kind of funny here now. You don't want to be talking no names today, do you? I may be on somebody's street. I be parked and keep on going. But between the dipping and the sipping, ordinary water became extraordinary wine. You remember that day when Jesus was in the midst at Bethesda in the house of mercy? Five porches with sick people all over the place. Yes. But one man, been there 38 long years. Well, he been coming. But because Jesus was in the midst, he was able to leave there walking. Somebody brought him crawling, but he left walking because Jesus was in the midst and told him to get up, pick your bed up, and walk. It's good when he's in the midst. When you've been paralyzed by trials and tribulation, he'll give you power to walk out of it. Good to know when he's in the midst. What I like about it, he won't never leave you. He won't never leave you. He says in Matthew 28:19, lo, somebody named Lo, Lo. See, if your name ain't Lo, you just put your name in there. Willie?
Yeah.
Whatever your name, Henry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Lo, I am with you always. How long is always? Always. Yes, till the end of the ages.
Yes.
I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He promised us that he'll be in the midst of your sorrow. He's in the midst of your joy. He's in the midst of your peace. He's in the midst of your love. He's in the midst of your long suffering. He's in the midst of our faith. For Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus spoke, God spoke to Moses. He was in the midst of a burning bush when he told him to take his shoes off. You're on holy ground.
Yes,
it's good to have him in the midst of your affairs. Thank God he went to Calvary.
Yes,
found himself in the midst again.
Yes.
Between two thieves. Yes. One on the left, one on the right. One on the left said, you're the Messiah. Save yourself. Then save us. The one on the right said, we desire to be here. But this man have done nothing amiss. Then he cried out, Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, remember me when you get to your kingdom. He stopped dying in the midst of two dying men and saved six souls. Said, today, right now, you'll be with me in paradise. Ain't it good he went to Calvary? Hanging up on a cross. Nails in his hand. Nails in his feet. He was in the midst of redemption and rejection. He was in the midst between God and man, between heaven and earth. He was in the midst, but he died. He died. He died. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Died till the sun took a lunch break. Died till the Roman soldier cried, surely this is the Son of God. Died. But that's not the end of the story. They laid him in the midst of a rock. A rock in a rock. With a rock trying to keep a rock in. But early, 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 Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my rock of salvation, my rock and my redeemer, got up, got up, got up, loud power, oh power. Holy Ghost power, changing power, really. I don't know what time it was, but Mark said it was dark. One man said it was before Farmer Brown when he got the eggs for his breakfast. Before the morning dew kissed the pebbles of the roses, he got up with all power, and he's alive right now,
sitting at the right hand of the Father, still in the midst of us, interceding for us.